Hello and welcome to another My Tunes with me, Mark Tiley. And this podcast was broadcast during our National Week. And who better to take care of the musical choices than the top man?
Mark Tiley, the nation station, next radio.
Welcome to another week of My Tunes on Manx Radio on this, our National Week. Hence, we weren't on yesterday, but we're on today and we'll be all the way through until Friday. Now, I'm going to put my neck on the line and say my guest is the highest profile Chief Minister in living memory, but not for all the good reasons, but because of blooming COVID-19. Chief Minister Howard Quayle, MHK, welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
And thank you for agonising over your musical choices.
Well, it's tough one. If you know, any of the listeners, if I said to you, you know, come up with four or five songs that are your favourites, then you would really struggle because you'd do a list and then an hour later a song would come into your mind. They think, oh, I should have put that one down instead.
Well, I've had a good look and you've chosen some great stuff for us. I want to go back to you growing up and listening to music early doors. What were you sort of listening to as early as you can remember?
I suppose I was a massive Electric Light Orchestra fan, so ELO was big in my life. Tears for Fears, let's see, oh, massive Queen fan. A little bit of Status Quo too. In fact, I've been to their concerts. I do listen to a lot of classical music. That's probably 95% of my the way I get my enjoyment. But Eurythmics, I love songs, music, where the words have real meaning. You know, the Eurythmics, Who's That Girl, as is one of the songs I've chosen. It starts off, the language of love slips from my lover's tongue, cooler than ice cream and warmer than the sun. And you think to yourself, wow. Yeah. And you know, I was a teenager. I think I was out at a party. I played it at the Raggett in the grounds in that area there. And it's funny, little things stick in your mind, memories. But so words are a big thing. I love music that relaxes. You've got a quite a stressful job and therefore music really does help me unwind.
I can't imagine how stressful it's been over the past few months, and we'll talk about that during the week. But I want to take you back, if I may, to the 29th of April 1978. There's a little chap going to start singing for us. Yes, he is. Here we are. Here he goes.
Tell them how I'm waiting here and longing for the day when I shall be upon the deck and sailing right away.
Rapturous. Rapturous applause, and if we didn't put that in, it was there recorded at the Sheffield Plate competition, and you won your class with that in 1978. Howard Quayle.
Yes, I felt sorry for all the parents. I think there were 65, 67 of us all singing exactly the same song, so the poor adjudicator must have had a patience of a saint. But yes, a lifetime ago, no mortgage or anything to worry about then.
We had Gareth Moore, the accompanist, who does a lot of work on the Guild, as a guest a few weeks ago.
Yeah, good friend, Gareth.
How do you play it 70 times if you're working with these little ones? Go through it up to 70 times, he says. Everyone, treat them all the same. Just go for it. Bless him.
Yeah, very talented guy, Gareth, and very good organist. I love organ music too, and I don't get much time of an evening, but if Gareth's playing in a concert sometimes at Trinity, I always try and make the time to go and support him, or if he's brought someone over to play, very talented guy, and we're lucky to have him.
Do you still sing?
No, it's I know I was in a special tenor competition, which I have won once, but I got up and I forgot my words. I was so tired. I was building up my business and I just was working long hours, forgot my words, and I vowed that until I could give it the proper... Because you don't just get up and sing. It's all about breathing, exercises, scales. And I thought, until I can give it the time that it deserves, then I wouldn't do it. I don't like doing... I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, and therefore I stopped and I vowed to get back into it, and sadly, 20, 30 years later, I still haven't got back into it.
Time enough, or put the Manx on that. Trade-a-loo.
Trade-a-loo, yeah.
You mentioned the Eurythmics. We'll have them now. Your first choice, then?
Annie Lennox, Eurythmics, Who's That Girl? And I think the words, you know, if you listen to the words, it's beautiful poetry. It's exquisite.
Tunes on this, our national week. So who better to be my guest than our very own Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, MHK. He's with me now. It has been a ridiculously tough few months on the Isle of Man, but I know I want to say thank you, and I know everybody I've spoken to, when I hinted at the fact you were coming on this, they said, please say thank you to Chief Minister and the team for getting us through this.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been very humbling. The amount of people that stopped me in the street, or I was in the chemist yesterday getting some antibiotics, and there was a queue of people all thanking me. It's very, you know, sort of quite embarrassing, really. But yeah, I'm the front part of a cog, where there's an awful lot of people in my team behind me working hard. Getting, you know, we've worked as a good team to get the Isle of Man in what I think is a really good position. We can't be complacent. But the team have been working 80 to 100 hours at some stage. In the early days when it was breaking, and we were working 7 days a week into 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, sort of coming up with the 111 hotline, the helpline, the testing, the tracing, and planning to get oxygen generation up at Nobles Hospital, because we're reliant on BOC to bring it over, and they do a fantastic job. But if they hadn't been able to get over, oxygen was the number one. Everyone went on about ventilators, but it was oxygen, actually, that was the most important thing. We needed it. So you're planning all that. It was really, really tough, really, really stressful. And for me, my love of music, it's how I switch off. So I can be in my office working away. I feel sorry for the team, because they're used to hearing all sorts of music blaring away in the office. And it's how I unwind. And it's you know, with that, my family, my friends, and my faith, that's how I've got through this. But music really does help me calm me down and focus.
Let's hear a little bit of something that you've mentioned to me when we were talking earlier a couple of times. It's a beautiful piece by Chopin. The whole of this will be on the podcast at the end of the week. But let's just remember how gorgeous the playing. John Ogden, this is the beautiful Chopin's E-flat Nocturne, Opus 9. Thank you. You were very specific about which version of that we were to play, and it was John Ogden or nothing.
Absolutely, and all my friends know I love classical music, and sometimes in the early days they fell into the trap of sending me a recording for Christmas or something of a well-known... So Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. If it's played too fast, I just cringe. So if it's Lupe or Daniel Barenboim playing it, I'm happy with that. And I would, you know, for those of you who don't like classical music, it's the equivalent of you being a Queen fanatic and someone sending you a copy of a tribute band playing it. So for me, Deutsche Grammophon have some of the best recordings. Jacqueline Dupre, I can't bear to listen to anyone else playing Bach or Elgar's cello concertos, unless it's her. You know, there's Yo-Yo Ma, there's various people that do it, but she is the definitive version from my point of view. So yes, I am very particular, very fussy, because music is so important to me that when you find someone who can communicate it over to you in such a beautiful, perfect way, listening to anyone else is just a no-no. And as I say, the Freddie Mercury, I love Freddie Mercury. The voice that guy had was phenomenal. And when someone else tries to sing, there's only one Freddie Mercury. Yeah. And I hope people who love Queen can understand where I'm coming from my classical point of view, that you've got to have that special recording.
As I say, the full version of that will be on the podcast at the end of the week. Just going back to the height of the pandemic, and quite early on, you contracted COVID. What was going through your mind?
Well, I suppose two things. We had planned as a family what we were going to do. My daughter is a student, my youngest daughter, and she was working in the COVID ward. And we also had my wife, who is categorised as high risk with an autoimmune illness. And therefore, we'd planned as a family how we were going to split the house up just in case. So the first two things I worried about, one, I didn't want to give it to my wife. It would have been incredibly serious. And B, I knew the peak was coming and I needed to be at the helm working, and I wanted to get back as soon as possible to work. So those were the two things. I didn't worry about myself, really. I sort of just presumed I would get over it or hoped. I didn't have a chance to think about it. And when I had it, I still managed to chair meetings every day. So IT technology is a wonderful thing, and the Teams app, I was able to sort of chair meetings then go back to bed, because the first week was really tough. I had a really high temperature and it just drains you and you feel miserable waiting for your 6-hourly take of it wasn't ibuprofen, it was paracetamol that I was taking. So once I got through that, it was just focusing on getting the island through it. I knew that we had to be ready for the peak, and as luck would have it, we'd gone through our peak before we realised we were going through it. So, yeah. But I never take that for granted. An awful lot of people put an awful lot of hard work into getting us all on the island through this, and I can't thank them enough.
Your record today, to finish up this bit, is totally appropriate, coming from Eva Cassidy, given what we've seen in everybody's, nearly everybody's windows and in schools all over the place.
Yeah, Over the Rainbow, obviously made famous by Judy Garland, but Eva Cassidy was one of those people who died before she was famous. She was dying of cancer when she recorded it, and it's haunting. You know, I gave a few shout-outs for some young girls who'd been doing rainbows on pebbles and then selling them to raise money for people less fortunate during this time. And that's the sort of thing that, as I say, that helps me. And as I say, music is so important in my life to calm me down and relax.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you
My Tunes during our national week with a very special guest, and just great to have you with us. Chief Minister Howard Quayle, MHK, is my guest. We've had some wonderful music, even from you, already this week. We'll have another great track in a moment. Growing up, education, King Williams, and then what happened? Remind me where you went from there.
Well, I did a year briefly. In those days, sadly, I couldn't stay on to go to off to university. It just family couldn't afford it, and I did a year at the QE2 to prepare, and then the civil service job came up, and I went into the Treasury and then the finance sector.
Yeah.
After that, and then I gave it all up and resigned and bought a farm in '91, much to my parents' disgust.
But that worked out very well. I mean, that whole farm has done very nicely.
Yes, yeah, we've got a couple now. We ploughed everything back in, and we went into property rentals, tourist accommodation, and Pedigree Aberdeen Angus. We still have a British record for the highest priced red Angus sold at auction. It's been matched but not bettered.
Can we buy that meat locally? Can we find it anywhere?
Not anymore. You used to, but sadly, I believe if you're going to do a job, you either do it or you don't do it. So it broke my heart to sell my prize winning herd, but it was the best thing to do so I could concentrate on being an MHK.
When did the political light go on in your brain? Was it something that was always there, or was there a moment, I'm going to go in and do this?
I suppose I did 10 years in agricultural politics. I was president of the Farmers Union for five. And I knew that farmers had to sell themselves better to get the message over about buying local. And with others, we started the I Love Manx campaign. Then I sort of bowed out of agricultural politics to take some time off. And I was really, really, I'm really big about intergenerational fairness. And I was really concerned back in 2010 that we had lost a lot of money as a result of the VAT agreement and at the same time the financial crash of 08. And I was concerned that if we didn't get our house in order, we were going to be passing on a lot of debt to our children, because it's very easy to give people whatever they want now and then just put the day of paying for it off. And I didn't think that was fair in our young people. And I want our children and our grandchildren to have the lovely experience on the Isle of Man that we've had growing up, without all the debt where they're forced to go off the island because they just can't afford to fund the services that we provide. So I stood in my naive little world. I was going to get a balanced economy and sort out public sector pension debt. That was my sort of philosophy. And I thought, well, if I'm wanted, I'll stand. If I don't get in, well, I suppose my pride will be hurt. But at least as a Manxman whose family have lived here for 400 or 500 years, then I've made an effort to try and do some good. And the rest, they say, is history. Yeah.
A year and a bit to go. Are you going to stand again next year?
Well, I've always said two terms, so it's a decision I'll make in April, really, to see where the island is, the position it's in, and what's happening. So I think April time, it's got to be, when I decided to stand back in 2010 for the 11 election, it was something I discussed with the family, because we're a tight unit, and it's really important to have the support from your loved ones. I'd always said I didn't want to make a career out of it. I think, personally for me, you can make the tough decisions because you're not looking over your shoulder all the time. You can just get on with what you think is right, working with others for what's right for the island, rather than short-term, what's going to get you re-elected all the time. So I thought a couple of terms, if I was wanted again, then that's what I would do. So we'll review it in April.
We'll touch base again next year. Four more tunes, probably. Let's have today's... Oh, I love this. This is great. New Order.
Absolutely cracking song. I grew up with this in the Palace Lido, and that's why I've sort of put it down. Palace Lido, the biggest discotheque nightclub in Britain at the time. It's a 12-inch single. I think it's the best-selling 12-inch single of all time. I feel sorry sometimes for our young people on the island now, because when I was growing up, we had phenomenal nightclubs were the in thing. I suppose we didn't have dating apps and things, and you'd go to numerous nightclubs on the island. But the Palace Lido, I've got some special memories with a good gang of friends going there, and New Order. At the time, it was so unusual with a long introduction before you came into the words, and I wasn't even really bothered about the words. It was just the beat. It was a really good dance song, and yeah, I got up and danced to it. It was really enjoyable.
final My Tunes of the Week. On a Friday, not Thursday, because Monday was Tynwald Day. This is Tynwald Week. So how appropriate that my guest should be our Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, MHK. It's been a great week, sir. It really has. And it's been fascinating finding out about a lot of little bits and pieces of your life. I want to turn to something I should have mentioned earlier, but I'll mention it now. Art, paintings, because I know you've got quite a collection yourself, and you did personally quite a lot to raise the profile of John Miller Nicholson, who was pretty much ignored back in the day. Well, not ignored, but was not given the recognition he was due.
Well, he was a very shy man. I've got the privilege of owning 13 of his paintings. I've been very passionate about collecting. I've got about 60, 70 paintings in total, Holland, Webb, Sales, but Miller and E.C. Quayle's, but Miller Nicholson to me is the master. To the extent that John Ruskin, the famous Victorian, came over to the island, saw his work and was so impressed with it that he bought some and sent it off to London, and it was sold in some of the top galleries in London. But John Miller Nicholson was such a shy person that if you're going to get on with in the art world now, you've got to go out and sell yourself. You've got to go out to the exhibitions and mix with the crowd and explain what you've painted. And Miller Nicholson was a painfully shy person who wouldn't do that. And other than that, he would have got the recognition. He's our greatest artist of all time, beyond a shadow of a doubt. He should have got the recognition. Even the governor's wife at the time recognised it and helped to promote it. But because he didn't promote himself, I don't think it went any further. But it means that people like myself, on a much more limited budget than some of the top collectors, can buy really good paintings. And I get a lot of enjoyment from it. And music and art and poetry are really important to me.
Something we're very privileged to be in place here at Manx Radio. We get to meet artists, musicians, sculptors, a lot of people in the arts, because we make programmes and we engage with them. And every time we do this, I'm thinking, we are so blessed here. And in nearly, well, every dimension, we punch way above our weight for a population of just over 80,000. We are so richly served by people who are creative.
We are, and it's not just music or art, it's sport too. The Ironman regularly punches its weight in the sport world with the number of world champions we've got. You know, I am incredibly proud. You know, pride cometh before a fall, but I am very proud to be, you know, a resident of the Isle of Man and to have been born here. And I always think, oh, gem of God's earth, you know, land of our birth, oh, gem of God's earth, oh, island so strong and so fair. It's true as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I was born in the dark recesses of West London. But whenever I'm travelling, when they ask me where you're from, I say the Isle of Man. Because I may only have been here for 12, 13 years or whatever, still a come over, I know. But I'm very proud to say that's where I live and that's where I come from. And that means a lot.
Well, I have quite an open view on whether you're Manx or not. I've got friends who've only been on the island for a few years, and I consider them in a way to be more Manx than myself, whose family have lived here 500 years probably, because they're so passionate about the island. They buy everything that's Manx. They go around the island exploring. They support all the local events. And so I think as long as you're prepared to fit in with the island way of life and not try to change it, then you're Manx as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that brings you on to pretty much my closing question before we get to the last track. What do you most want to preserve here, and what do you most want to change?
Preserve is the community, and in fact, I want to grow. I grew up in the 70s in Kirkmichael, where no one had any money, really, if we're honest about it. But it was a fantastic community spirit. If you went to the local jumble sale in Michael Primary School, the whole village was there, and if someone wasn't there, you'd go and see if they were okay. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we were happy. And in a way, coronavirus, COVID-19, has taught me a little bit about just sitting back and taking in the beauty. When I was recuperating from the illness, I would sit out in a chair just outside our sun lounge, look at the view and listen to the dawn chorus, listen to the birds sing. I hadn't done that in years. I've been so busy running around that. And I thought to myself, it really is a tragedy that I haven't done this more often. And there's a poem, one of my favourite poems is by W.H. Davies. It's called Solitude. Or it starts off, what is this world of full of care? We have no time to stand and stare, no time to stand beneath the bough and gaze as long as sheep or cow. And it goes on looking at the stars, and then it ends with the killer punchline, a poor world this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. And that to me, you know, we always say when something happens in our lives, I must just take a step back. And I think, yes, we're all maybe a lot wealthier now on the Isle of Man than we were in the 70s, but are we any happier? I'm not convinced that we are. And sometimes it's quality of life. And maybe COVID-19 has been a horrible thing to live through. But if there's one good thing that's come out of this, is maybe community spirit, helping one another and appreciating that we do live on a gem of God's earth and it's worth fighting for and doing something about.
That's what we're going to preserve. What do you most want to change?
I would love to change. People jump to conclusions quickly. Maybe when they might get 5% of the facts and castigate others when they haven't got all the facts. Now, if I don't mind anyone disagreeing with me, if they've got 100% of the facts and I've got 100% of the facts, we land on a different viewpoint. I'm more than happy with that. But it's trying to get people to be a little bit more open about getting all the facts and then coming to a conclusion about where you stand for regarding whatever point. I'd love to try and change that. I've tried to get the economy balanced. We were there with a balanced economy, a surplus to cover the pension black hole, effectively, and then along came COVID-19. But just people to be a little bit more tolerant of one another. And I suppose my last song, which you'll be announcing soon, it's not the sort of song they probably think the chief, you know, Howard Quayle, would listen to. But when you listen to the words, they are incredibly important.
Well, it's been a week of wonderful surprises. Thank you for every one of your choices. What are we going to close it with?
Well, we're going to close with the Black Eyed Peas, Where Is the Love? Came out in 2003 in response to the 9/11 terror attacks. I mean, the lyrics are absolutely mind-blowing. They really knock you over. They're discussing terrorism, racism, gang crime, pollution, war, intolerance and violence against LGBT people. Spread the love, not hate, is a key phrase. And but if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate. You know, the words are absolutely special. And then most of us only care about money making, selfishness, got us following the wrong direction, and whatever happened to the values of humanity, whatever happened to fairness and equality. And then it ends with that key poignant view: we only got one world, and we have, you know, there might be a planet millions of miles away light years away that maybe future we'll be able to visit, but at this moment in time we've only got one world, and if we don't look after it and respect it, we're in serious trouble.
Howard Quayle, MHK Chief Minister, thank you for a fabulous week, and thank you for coming on our screens and our radio pretty much every day. I think you've sold more merchandise than the TT this year with its Howard o'clock. So well done on that. Hopefully a real normality, not just here, but everywhere. We'll be back soon.
Thank you very much indeed.
To bring the trauma overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Or where's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Or where's the love, y'all?
We're forgiving, people dying, children hurting, even crying. When you practice what you preach, and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinemas. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world.
We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
And something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah. We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
The Black Eyed Peas, final choice from my guest for our National Week, My Tunes, Chief Minister Howard Quayle, MHK. Keep coming back for more podcasts here at manxradio.com from me, Mark Tiley, and many more besides. See you soon.